Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The Bible calls Jesus Emmanuel. You know what that means? Everybody knows what Emmanuel is. It means God with us. Jesus Christ is God with us. The creator of all things is Jesus. The God that copyrighted lightning and patented thunder. He's not mild-mannered and weak. He's not pious. He can be as gentle as a lamb need to be. But more often the scripture portrays him as a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. If religion misportrays Jesus Christ as being weak and soft and pious and timid, the masses have also misjudged his church. I've done a lot of business. My pet peeve is when somebody doesn't get their way in a business deal, they've said to me, and maybe you haven't done enough business to have the, but this has been said to me 200 times. When they don't get their way, and I thought you was a Christian. Oh, I could hit them in the face with this mic, but I don't. I just smile. That's what Christianity is, not doing what you feel like doing, but doing what's right. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. That means lay down and let me run my truck over you. That's not what Christianity is at all. Christianity is doing the right thing. And so if we are to be the church that prevails against hell that Jesus Christ described, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We must be ferocious in our faith. To those of us that fixate on the scripture, the meek shall inherit the earth, we might want to dig a little deeper in the commentaries and conclude that it means our weapons are not carnal or worldly, but it means they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Meanwhile, we might want to jump on the mighty bandwagon of the Apostle Paul and declare, I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Jesus rewards violent faith. And that is the reason our prayers must be passionate. Our prayers need to be passionate. When you see them praying in the garden, they were praying passionately. Jesus prayed until blood came out his pores. A passionate prayer. An emotional prayer. A violent prayer. Our worship cannot be pretensive. Our praise must be emotional. Jesus bottles tears and takes residence in heartfelt worship. There's a reason why Jesus rewarded the line breakers. You ever been in line and somebody gets it? That's another one of my pets. I've got lots of pets, and they're all peeves. You ever stand in line a long time, and all of a sudden somebody just gets ahead of you? I make Becky stand in line if we have to. I don't stand in many lines. But if we do, I have her to stand in line, and I go do something else, and I watch and see. And then I go join her, and I can just feel those people looking at me behind. They're mad. And I'm thinking, but we are one. That's the way it works, isn't it, Brother Green? We're one. But line breakers, people that just get in ahead of you, I'm not fond of that. But did you ever read the story about Jesus teaching in a cabin, in a house? He was just teaching. And there's a great line. The Bible said there was a press of people so great that you couldn't even get to the door. The house was surrounded. And all of a sudden, Jesus is teaching. And he looks up. He says, wow, sheetrock dust in my hair. Jesus looks up. There's noise. There's a hole. There's people. And suddenly there's a man coming down on a bed. And four men up above are letting him down. It looks like Jesus being the purveyor of rightness and order. It looks like he would have said, sir, you need to go to the back of the line. But that's not what he said. Jesus was impressed. I wonder if our entrance into the courts and the gates of heaven as we spiritually pray and worship, I wonder if it ever impresses the Lord. I said, wow. Come here, Gabriel, take a look at this. Here's a man just like the man that tore the roof off. Here is a woman that says, I will not be denied. My prayers are going to be heard in heaven. And I will stay here until they are. I'll fast until it happens. I'll get violent. Heaven will know that I have attacked. We have that authority. The crowd stands around the great house, the great sweeping crowd. And finally, there's people mumbling, complaining, murmuring. And Jesus is saying, thy faith has made thee whole. I can tell you, if you ever become a vigilante for God, people are going to criticize you. If you ever become violent with your praise, your worship, your attendance, your giving, your testimony, your witness, people are not going to like it. Funerals are an amazing thing. Sister Sherry went to be with the Lord a few days ago, and we had her service in this very building. And there's nothing like preaching a funeral because people have little signs on them. They have little signs that said, I am mad. I don't like you, preacher. I'm going to take care of my own business. You're trespassing my thoughts. And then there's other people saying, that's right on. No time does it ever become as evident as it does during a funeral. You can read it in people's faces. I preached a funeral one time downtown for a gang member, and my life was threatened. That's the only time I really cared. I cared that time. But I lived. I'm here. But when you get strong, when you get tough, when you get violent in your faith, I promise you, those people that are passive and pious, those people that just believe, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's not true. That's not true at all. God has given you tremendous authority. He gives everybody a measure of faith, the authority to get saved. And then once you get saved, it opens up a whole avenue of things you've never had before. Now you've got power over doubt and fear, over demons and devils. You are now a living, powerful organism that can change your world. You don't have to accept things like they are. The violent take it by force, and the force is faith. There is nothing like faith. The devil can't stop the force field of faith. He just can't stop it. It's a force field. He just does not know what to do about it. And the Bible said you can't please God without it, so God won't resist faith. There's a reason why God rewards violent faith. It encapsulates all the things that God requires. You let people get hungry, they will get violent. You let people get addicted, they will get violent. People that are addicted to drugs can be very scary people because it supersedes their personality. They will rob and steal and kill. I've seen husbands sell their wives' most prized possessions to get their next fix. They are violent people. Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was addicted. He was addicted to this gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, as we come to an end of an age, I'm more convinced today than ever that the gospel is the only hope, the only help, the only solution to the problems that are facing this world. And if we believe that, then we need to get violent in our faith and say, I can make a difference, not only in my life, but I can make a difference in my family. I can make a difference in my friends. I can make a difference in my school, on my job. I can make a difference because I have faith, but it's not passive faith. It's violent faith. There's a reason why God, as the husband to the bride, that's who God is, because Jesus Christ came to us. Somebody said, what kind of relationship do you have with God? Oh, it is a multi dimensional relationship. Number one, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Not only that, the Bible said he's not ashamed to call me brother. He's my friend. He's my brother. Not only that, the Bible teaches us that we are the bride of Christ. Friend, what a relationship. When you're a friend, a relative, and finally a bride of Christ, nothing can come between you and Christ. And so there's a reason why God, as the husband to us, says this. This is Isaiah. I love this verse. I've never heard anybody else ever use it except me. It might not even be in your Bible. I don't know. I've never heard anybody use it except me. Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord. This is great. This is going to register in your mind. Some of you, not all of you, some of you are going to remember this verse the rest of your life. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command me ye. Do you understand what God is saying? God said for you to command him. Now that's a whole level of faith, but it's based on relationship. Pastor Becky, especially now, boy, she's a wee little thing. But she can get anything she wants from me because we're husband and wife. It's not that I fear her. You can't hurt me. It's because of our relationship. She can get anything we want. She wants. Becky and I have always had our own checking account, savings account. It's totally separate, but we're on each other's account. And so the other day I ran out of money. You might want to try this, Kevin. I ran out of money. I looked in Pastor Becky's savings, and we had the same bank in that particular. We got several banks. That was Wells Fargo. And right there it was on my computer was Becky's account. I'm out of money. My check's going to bounce. It was late in the evening, too. It wasn't $5 either. It was thousands of dollars. Choo, choo, choo. I felt so good. But I dreaded the consequence. I got ready for it. Kevin, I got ready for it. And I said, Becky, the next morning, Becky, I transferred some money out of your savings into my checking account. And it never happened. She didn't even react. She said, okay. I thought, wow. How could I have been that smart 52 years ago to marry a woman like this? I said, I'm going to put it back today. But I just wanted to see her reaction. Her reaction was not what I thought it would be. And so I'm going to do it again. But all of that is based on what? Relationship. You're not as big as God. You're not as smart as God. You're not as strong as God. But God said, command me ye, because he loves you. It's all right to say, God, save my son. God, heal my body. God, give. That's what violent faith says. God, you got to do it. And God loves it. Jesus himself gave us the illustration of the woman that just wouldn't keep going to the unjust judge. That judge was unjust. That wasn't God. That was an unjust judge. That was life. But he was giving us the illustration. If you don't quit, I will. If you don't quit, I will. God is saying, I reward violent faith. And don't be pious. And don't be timid. Did you ever read Silas Marner? We had to read that in school. I never forget. I got one thing out of that story. It's an English class. There was a group of people in Silas Marner. That's an old novel. And these people only went to church occasionally because they didn't want God to think they were greedy. Now, there's some people that don't know God. God wants you to be greedy for his spirit. Greedy for his presence. Demanding, God, I've got to feel your presence today. I've got to have the Holy Ghost moving in my life today. God, I've got to see miracles today. He said, you are my sons. Concerning the work of my hands, command me ye. That's violent faith. Ladies and gentlemen, we settle for too little. We need to stand up and declare we are the sons of God. And this is what will happen when we begin to operate in faith. God exemplifies us to call those things that be not as though they were. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And I've only got about 5,500 favorite verses. But this is one of them. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that which be not as though they were. The Bible said the evidence of things not seen. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got filled full of God's Spirit, you became a faith machine. I watched a preacher the other day. I never had heard him, and somebody recommended him, and I watched him the other day, but I couldn't watch him long. You know why? He kept telling me I didn't have any faith. Anybody that tells me I don't have faith will become a stranger to me. Don't ever hang around people that tell you don't have faith. Don't leave this church if you do go to Cornerstone. Don't leave this church. But if you leave this church, don't go anywhere where the pastor goes to the pulpit and tells you you don't have faith. You need people to operate in your life that are encouraging you. You are a woman of faith. You're a man of faith. You can work miracles. Signs are following you. These signs shall follow them that have faith or believe. You are a mighty woman of God, a mighty man of God. And you're doing good, but you can do better. You've got a lot, but you can have more. You have more than you used to have, but you don't have as much as you're going to get, because God is on your side. And God rewards violent faith. Then he gives us the instructions. He said, call those things that be not as though they were. And then he gives us the instructions on how to do that. I love this passage also. Romans is such a great book. Romans 10. But the righteous, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend to the deep? To bring Christ up. But what saith he? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Has that word right there ever got in your spirit? That you don't have to call Christ from a long way off, up or down, come up, come down? Oh no. Since you got saved, the word of faith is in your mouth. When you begin to speak it, praise God, it's going to begin to happen. It is the word of faith. Say to that mountain, say to that sickness, say to that devil, say to that blessing. Either way, you can curse those things that are bad, bless those things that are good. You can cause those bad things to go away, the good things to come near. That's what it means. The word of faith is nigh thee in thy mouth. Some of the most angry scriptures in the entire Bible is built around the passive and the violent. This has always been an awkward verse for me, and I use it all the time, thinking maybe you'll tell me what it means, because I know God to be a God of love. Is it written, Jacob have I loved? I'm all right there. But Esau have I hated? It's always a rough scripture for me. You know, Esau wasn't great, but sometimes he's better than I am now. That's a rough verse. Rough verse. Jacob, I love. But the word of God uses that about Jesus. Jesus rejected Esau. And only one chapter previous, the chapter right before that, he hated Esau. But one chapter before that, Jacob is listed in the hall of faith multiple times, not just once, but his name is recorded over and over as a man of faith. And so faith and unbelief separates twins. That's all it is. God loves faith. Why is that? Why did he love Jacob so much and hate Esau? Because God rewards violent faith. Jacob was something. Jacob struggled violently against injustice and perceived destiny. That's important. Let me break that down. When you know something's not right, stand against it with everything you've got. Whether it comes from the devil himself or somebody the devil is using, resist it. Stand against it. Speak against it. Hold it off. You've got that authority. And God will respect you for it. And Esau said, well, this is some deal. Just because I was born 5 seconds later, I got nothing. He's got everything. Jacob said, I can't handle that. And the Bible said, even in the womb, as Esau was going out, he reached up and he got a hold of Esau's heel and followed him out. And he started struggling all of that time. Let me tell you something. God loves people that struggle. But he's not nearly as keen on people that surrender. God wants you to fight the good fight of faith. No matter what kind of opposition comes against you, God just laughs and applauds when you say, I'm not bowing, I'm not giving in, I'm not stopping. The doctor, bless his heart, that boy learned to lie somewhere. I'm not going to die with cancer, I'm going to live. God respects that, and he loves that, and he rewards that. And so the Bible said, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated. But Jacob had that violent faith. He just would not step. Violent, unrelenting faith. Jacob fools his daddy and gets the birthright. The paper. The one that came from the hospital. He's got the paper in his hand. It's one thing, folks, to have the Bible in your hand, but it's quite something else to have the blessing on your life. Esau's got the birthright, but he still don't have the blessing. But he is a violent man. And when God sends, and God recognized that, and when God set the ladders down, and when God sent the angels down, he sent the angels in precarious territory. Friend, you are higher than the angels. You know the Bible said that. We were created lower, but when we got saved, we piggybacked over the angels. And we are higher than them. And now the Bible says this in Hebrews. It said, those angels are errand runners for the heirs of salvation. You literally have authority and dominion over angels when you get violent faith. And so the angel comes down to set Jacob straight. And he wrestles with him. And then he said, well, I'm going to leave you now. And Jacob said, that's what you think. You're not going to leave till I say you can leave. Friend, there ought to be a faith in you that determines when angels come and go in your life and what they're going to do. I've told you, and I won't go into the whole story, but preaching in a Bible school 40, 50 years ago, I got in trouble with my theology from the president of the Bible college because I preached from that very verse that we have authority over angels, and he didn't believe it. And so he called me back. That was on a Friday. On a Monday, I was back on that platform. He'd asked me to come and to apologize and straighten out my theology, which I wasn't going to do, but I was going to say something. But he made a mistake because we had sent angels out on Friday. And the way we did it was you wrote where you wanted the angel to go. You wrote what you wanted the angel to do. You folded it up, and I had a big trash can. You dropped it in there, and we set them all on fire. Say, where'd you find that in the scripture? I stretched it. But he was going to make me apologize, and I was 20-some years of age, and he was much older and had a lot of authority. And he wrote letters on me, calling me a heretic. And every pastor he wrote letters to invited me to come and preach and explain what I believe, and I got about 12 revivals out of his letters. But anyway, he made a mistake. Before he asked me to apologize, he opened up that student body of that Bible college and asked them to testify. And I don't remember all of them, but there were dozens of them. One girl said, my mother was not a Christian. I came to Bible school, paid my own way. but I sent an angel to her in the state of Washington. She went to a spirit-filled church, got saved, and got filled with the Holy Spirit Sunday. They started popping up all over the audience, and then the man was afraid to let me get back in the pulpit. He said, never mind. He wouldn't let me get back in the pulpit of that Bible college because there are so many people that are afraid of people with violent faith. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't really know who you are until you discover the Word of God and the promises that God says, command me ye, take charge over my angels, have them to do what you need done in your life. And such a man was Jacob, a violent, violent man, a man of violent faith. And the angel said, let me go. I'm going to go. No, you're not going to go. I've got the birthright, but now you're going to stay here until I get the blessing. I'm not going to let you report back to heaven until the blessing that goes with the birthright is mine. And all over this audience tonight, there are people that are saved, washed in the blood. That means you've got the birthright. But some of you have never tapped into the blessing. You're living much like you were before you got saved. You need to realize that there is a deposit of faith inside of you. And you need to stand up and crow. You need to say, bless God, I'm going to change my life around. I'm not going to live in poverty. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to be the last man out every time. I am now the servant of Almighty God, the son of Almighty God, the wife of Almighty God, and I can call the shots in my life, and I can take that perceived destiny. Somebody said that's as good as it's going to get. You say that. You say that. Friend, I say it's going to get better. Well, it's just not going to. I say that's perceived destiny. I refuse to let somebody design my life by their perceived destiny of what I have the ability to do. You know what I'm amazed at? I saw somebody today to put it on here, and it's so accurate that God is not impressed with your talent. God is impressed with your faithfulness. Praise God. I think the brother from Atlanta put that on today, and it resonated with me. God's not impressed with your talent because most of us would be really in bad shape because a few people have a lot of talent, and the rest of us are just along for the ride. We can't sing and we can't dance and we can't play instruments and we can't do all kinds of things. And so does that leave us out? No, because God is not going to perform in the behalf of those people that are talented. He will perform in those people that are faithful. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter man or woman, black, white, brown, or yellow. It doesn't matter age. If you will say, wait just a minute. My God is my Father, and my Father is my provider, and the faith inside of me is going wild. I haven't done what I can do. I haven't received what I can receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know as of this moment that my faith is wild, praise God, and we don't want to quit too soon. Joash was king of Israel, and Elisha was dying. I love Elisha. He's quite a character. Elijah and Elisha. I like Elisha better. First place, he did twice as many miracles as Elijah. The second thing is, he was a water boy for Elisha. That was his job. Every time Elijah went to wash his hands, he's just a servant to Elijah. But faith exploded in his heart. And he said, I'm a farmer's son, and he's a prophet, but he's getting old, and I can get the mantle. That faith was what? And Elijah wasn't kind to him. He kept saying, you stay here. I'm going to Gilgal. You stay here. I'm going to wherever. But Elisha didn't care. But now Elisha is dying. And Joash is the king of Israel. And the Syrians are defeating Israel at every battle. And Elisha said to Joash, take that arrow. Take that arrow. He said, I got it. What do I do? He said, smite the ground. And Joash smote the ground 3 times. I thought he was doing pretty good. 3 times. And Elisha is on his deathbed, and he got mad. I'd hate to be mad on my deathbed. The Bible said he was wroth. He's mad. Joy said, what are you mad about? He said, you're pitiful. You smote the ground 3 times. He said, you could have beat the fire out of that arrow if you would have. Because every time you struck the ground with that arrow, you were going to have a victory over Syria, and you were eventually going to defeat them totally. But you quit too soon and gave up too easy. Violent faith does not quit too soon, and it doesn't give up too easily. It just says, I won't stop. I won't quit. It's the last one to pray. Just keep praying. They sing a little louder, dance a little more, believe a little more, quote a few more scriptures, got their own prayer time, come early, stay late. Why? You don't understand. I am a person like Elisha. I came from nowhere, but now I am a faith container. I'm full of faith, praise God. And I realize that God is not a respecter of persons. God is a respecter of faithfulness. And I am full of faith. And praise God, I'm going to change the destiny that the world says is mine. So many people have given up because people around them told them they didn't have the ability and they couldn't do it. Friend, that person next or near to you has absolutely nothing to do with your destiny. Your destiny is decided by the faith that's inside of you.